Marner sends again in front of the net. Matthews scores! What a move! Holy Mackinac Heat! Turned that on a dime and sends it off the roof of the net. It's 3-0. Muzzin dropping it off, and Matthews is back in, wheeling down that left wing. A shot, he scores! Holy Mackinac! The hat trick is in the books!
That Austin keeps the mustache off for a little while.
I don't know, he won the Rocket with it, right? So, I mean, we can debate that, but obviously, I don't know if he's feeling a little lighter today, but all three were pretty incredible. So, great to see him really break through with a big night around the net.
You get a goal, and you get a goal, and you get a goal. Everybody gets a goal, except for Nick Rich. But still,
Aww. But
everybody gets one. Everybody that's still going to play on this team in a couple months is getting a goal. What a win.
Mustaches are out. Everyone shaved their face.
I couldn't help myself from making the mustache joke.
You know how many mustache jokes were online yesterday?
I know,
like,
I couldn't help
clearly
it.
Clearly the mustache is holding it back.
I tweeted exactly what you just said.
So. Yeah, you and I tweeted almost the same tweet at the same time, and I was like, God, we're spending too much time together.
That's not good. That's not good.
It's good for you, because usually my tweets are good.
Yeah, that's true.
I had it in my drafts, and I was like, now I see 15,000 other people tweeting this, so
couldn't help it.
Yeah, you were heavy on the meme tweets last night.
Big meme night for me.
Yeah,
tough. Good memeage. Mm-hmm. Good memeage.
Tough night for mustaches. Incredible night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Wow, what a win! So, where to start? Where you start is that the Toronto Maple Leafs are the best team in hockey, and it's undeniable at this point. Honestly, I know that I've been teetering on this for a long time now. This whole, and you heard it when we had Jen Botterill on, and the panel was like, oh, you know who's the best team is the Flames, the team that the Leafs beat.
The Flames.
I know. Unreal. Whatever. Only beat the Pacific Division teams. When the Leafs beat the Pacific Division teams, the rest of the hockey world goes, who have you beat? And then the Flames get all their wins against the Pacific Division. And people are like, man, you know who you should really pay attention to is the Flames, who the Leafs beat. Like, wow, they're so great. Leafs are the best team in hockey. Like, this is a real thing that's happening right now. They might not win a playoff round. Mm-hmm. They might not win a Stanley Cup. That feels like still a long shot. But they're awesome. And that win, I thought, was everything you wanted to see and more. They start off, they dominate in the first period. They just come out, and Colorado's like, we have our backup in net. Please be kind to him. And at least they're
don't shoot the puck.
We're going to beat the living crap out of this guy. We're going to fill this guy. So they come after them. They put them on their heels early. They're like, we're not letting McKinnon sit in. We're not letting anything happen. We're just going to pummel you right away. Then there's one bad goal at the end of the first, and you go, oh, no.
Yeah, with like, 1.3 seconds left?
0.3 seconds left.
That was the first time that there was a little bit of adversity in that game, and they came out, and the second period was a bit slower to start, but they kept with it and still continued to dominate. But that was the moment where it was like, okay, if this team is changed, if this team has really grown – and has some identity now that is like, we're not going to get pushed off our game. That was the moment. And did they ever deliver?
You know what? I thought, though, again, it was a complete win. Like, the blue line chipped in. I didn't love everybody on the blue line that game. We'll get to that later with some of the guests. But I thought the blue line was solid for the most part until that second period. They got some contributions. They also got a bounce, which, like, in the second period, they end up getting that the fourth goal really did tilt the game, right? Colorado was pressing. They got him on their heels. Jack Campbell was playing amazing in the second period. But again, that goes to the strengths of the team is that you have a goaltender who was making save after save after save. Somebody who, you know, I posted an Instagram video yesterday. Thank you guys for liking it and sharing it. I really appreciated that from both of you.
Did?
Oh, yeah. I know.
I think you posted it while I was
napping.
That's
okay. No, it's fine. It's fine. I can see who sees the stories.
you go in there and you look, you're like, English, looked at Blake, looked at it.
I did. I always look. So he stood on his head for a while. He was great. But that, Ailish, I wanted to bring this up to you. Is like, how much of hockey is sometimes, as much as we ridiculed Marner for bringing up the we didn't get the bounces, we didn't get the breaks in the playoffs, I really did think that game, that bounce, that break, that goal that they get on a weird knuckle puck, right? The Mighty Ducks knuckle puck that gets by. What was the guy's name? Johansson? Boy, was he bad. Oh, thanks for coming out, JoJo.
They had another U of T e-bug on the, like, getting ready. And I'm like, This guy should maybe play.
The E-Bug gets yanked because the other minor league goalie flies up in time.
Yeah.
Oh.
They were worried about this E-Bug that they sent their AHL guy from Colorado in.
Well, hey, it was a night you could have used your third stringer, right?
But that, but did you guys kind of feel that too? But it was like the Leafs took advantage of that opportunity, right? Like they didn't let it get squandered. Oh, yeah. They didn't go back into their bad habits. They went, wow, we got to bounce good. Now we're just going to continue the rest of the game. We're never going to let them off the mat again. And they just, they closed. They played amazing. Matthews gets a hat trick. I don't know what you're really supposed to be griping about today.
When you get a bounce like that, huge confidence boost. Because you're like, hey, things are going our way. You know, the vibes are high. You can kind of take a deep breath and think, this is a good omen for the game, right? And even though, yeah, it's a lucky bounce. It gives you a little bit more confidence. And I think you could see that with like the plays they were making. Just like it was such a fun game to watch. Oh, I wish I had bought tickets last minute.
Can I make my one gripe about the game now that you mentioned buying tickets though?
Yeah.
And it didn't have to do with the team. I know the Leafs, it matters about the playoffs, and I get it. Toronto's a tough city to travel. A lot of people come in from out of town and it's a long drive back and maybe you have kids or whatever. So,
but people left early?
They had such a great win. That's a standing ovation win game. That's one where you hang around and you celebrate the team when they're done. And there was a lot of empty seats at the end of the game. And it was noticeable. And I thought, okay, I get it. It's a blowout.
No, I'm staying to the end.
Yeah. Also,
get your money's worth. The tickets are not cheap.
I also thought of, they showed a couple shots of people who kept their hats for the hat trick. And I'm like, listen, if you wear a hat to a hockey game, that is for the ice. Like, the best case scenario is that you throw that hat.
But you walking saw what happened last night, right?
In terms of what?
Oh, yeah, in the
Hyman got a hat trick. Edmonton Everyone game. Throws their hats, and then the goal comes back.
What?
Yeah, in the Oilers game.
It got reviewed and it was offside.
So everyone throws their hat.
So you got to throw it eventually, but you now have the length of a review to throw your hat on the ice.
By the way, NHL should have a rule where once the hats hit the ice, the reviews are over.
Especially in super competitive game.
I thought what you were trying to tell me, I still have morning brain. I thought what you were telling me, Blake, is like, they went, too many people threw hats.
No.
We're taking away the goal. I thought the show was over, that we were going to have to basically just do 3 hours on this in a row and call people in Edmonton. There was going to be a state of emergency in hockey. Like, they're trying to take away the things that we love. Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, no, that sucks. But still, if you go to a hockey game and somebody scores a hat trick, throw your hat. I don't care. I'm wearing one of my favorite hats today. I'm not wearing that to a hockey game. You have to wear a team hat.
See, that's replaceable. The last time I was at the Leafs game, two times ago.
You wore some trendy.
I wore this vintage Leafs hat that I had scoured the internet for.
And was it Nick Foligno's dad's hat?
It's kind of some similar, yeah. I would not have thrown that. I would have went to the store in the arena and bought a hat and thrown it during a different whistle.
I wouldn't have had enough
whistle.
Time to do that.
During a different whistle.
Not only that. If you were with me at that game and that would have happened,
you would have thrown it?
I would have berated you. I wouldn't have thrown it because I think that's I have to work with you early in the mornings and I couldn't come in here and have you hate me for the rest of my life.
It's a little aggro.
It's a little too aggressive, but I would have chirped you forever.
That's fine.
And I'd have been like, oh, is that the magic hat? Oh, is that
it
the airplane? And I would have found that hat online the next day. I'd been like,
you can't.
Oh, okay, sure.
Fine. I scoured the internet.
So this is 300 level, old Sprite Zone over here.
Yeah, that's, you're not even going to be able to make it.
It's not going to reach.
That's the only kind of counter that you get is the person who actually is too far away to be able to make it happen. I still think that I've never seen a hat trick live, and I haven't. And it's truly one of those, like, I saw James Paxton's no-hitter, and like I was there for that, and that was exhilarating. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in terms of an individual performance. Mm-hmm. But to be at a hat trick game and the euphoria of throwing a hat. Honestly, text in today if you have a throwing the hat story, because I want to live vicariously through you. Either way, Matthews is dominant. You got an amazing performance from your best player. That goal that he scored, the first one in front of the net, is just one of those.
So good.
I know. But it's one of those, we've all seen Austin Matthews for so long goals, and we're used to being more impressed by his wrist shot than his hands, that you almost take it for granted that he's so good in a tight space like that. Like, that to me was more of a goal that you would think about JVR.
Yeah.
Like that was a JVR throwback. Hey, Team USA, we're coming up soon. I'm going to tip the cap to my old buddy. But I just, I just think it was a really complete win. And the way that they just looked like themselves, the way that there was very few moments in that game where they didn't look like the better team.
Mm-hmm. And the little moment that they did have a little bit of pushback.
Jack stood steady.
And they regrouped during the intermission. So sometimes, like, we always used to say you got to win the first and last minute of the period. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how the momentum shifts. They lost that first minute of the first period. And as I said earlier, like, that is the biggest character moment, to go in the locker room with a little bit of, ooh, okay, you know, we need to regroup. We need to come back out strong. They didn't come out and kill it at the beginning of the second period, but they held their own and they got a little bit of a fluky goal, but that's because they were putting themselves in the right positions and fighting through that little bit of adversity. So if you're going to be a playoff team, that stuff's going to happen and you're going to have to, like, take a second to internalize, all right, they're getting the momentum, like, it shifted a bit. How are we going to respond? So I think if you are a fan and you're wondering, how does this apply to the playoffs? That's a good sign.
Yeah, you know, I thought that they looked, they were on their heels the start of that second period. Mm-hmm. There was no doubt that Colorado was giving them a push. I actually felt like a total idiot because I tweeted something along the lines of, Colorado's the cup favorites, yeah, mocking them for their period. And then they were pressing.
And then I was in the dock and I wrote the word, I was like writing notes for today's show. And I said, like, after today's win, blah, 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 blah.
Ailish wrote down today's win as one of the questions. And I saw it in the dock and I texted her out to the side, hey, if the Leafs lose this game, I'm going to dox you.
I willed it to happen.
I'm going to absolutely make this the entire show to take the heat off of me. So, yeah, they were on their heels, but their goaltender stood on his head, and he's been their best player. Like, I know you put in here second star of the month.
Yeah, Jack Campbell was named NHL's second star of the month, which is huge.
Who's the bigger star than him? McDavid? They're just like, oh, you always get it?
Dreisaitl?
Dreisaitl? You know, yeah, okay. One of those two guys.
It was Dreisaitl.
So that,
and Kadri was, I think, third.
So I posted a video to my Instagram yesterday, and it's this new thing, Take It or Leave It. And essentially the entire thing is just 2 minutes of me talking about how the main reason to believe in the Leafs changing is Jack Campbell. Mm-hmm. That there is a different maturity to this team. I'm not going to lie. Like, everybody, Leafs fans know this. And this is something that I want to do later today, is to continue to get some texts and see how Leaf fans are feeling. But Leaf fans know this. You're a masochist if you watch this team. You are. If you're listening to this radio program today, you've stuck with this team that has basically brought you some moments of joy amongst your friends. You know, the odd Saturday night where you get to go with the boys and watch the game, old weekend beers, an excuse to get out of the house. But a lot of embarrassment, you know, like, mm-hmm, just a lot of being embarrassed and a lot of people taking shots at you that you go, I don't know why, but this feels really personal when you say 67 at an arena in my face. It hurts my feelings. Even though it was decades before I was born, it hurts. It hurts my feelings in a weird way. And so, you know, you're preparing yourself for a team that is about to let you down, because that has happened over and over and over again. And everyone makes fun of Leaf fans because they use that same crappy trope. The one that never gets to me is, oh, plan the parade whenever things are going well. And I'm not doing that. But I've always thought underneath it all, like, ah, this Leafs team stinks. Not last year. I thought they were good. I really did. But I also thought it was a byproduct of the division, and we didn't really know because they weren't playing other teams, right? This is the first time where I've watched them, I think, in the salary cap era, for sure in the salary cap era, where I've gone, no, they're good, and I see the difference.
He's beginning to believe.
Yeah. I am beginning to believe. And the part of me hates it. Mm. Part of me doesn't want this to be real. I actually kind of feel more comfortable in the zone of just, you know, who cares? They're going to lose. And yet, here we are, where I hit that drop again. Like,
He's beginning to believe.
I've been believing. And last night was just the over-the-top nail in the coffin, where I'm walking around and I don't want to hear anybody say anything about playoffs right now, because right now the Leafs are just, they're the best team in hockey.
We had a text in by Giancarlo from Pottageville.
Okay. Sounds
wrong.
Right up, but okay.
It's the Florida Panthers.
Sure. Whatever. Like, honest to God, I don't care. Like, you're a nerd. You're the biggest nerd. It's the Florida Panthers. It's the Tunis. Okay. I don't care. How's about counterpoint? No.
The Toronto Maple Leafs are first in the Atlantic Division, and the Florida Panthers are second in the Atlantic Division. So statistically,
Panthers are the best. Oh, all those Florida Panthers playoffs wins that this guy's leaning on, this nerd that felt compelled to need in.
Also, weirdly, they don't play until the end of March, yeah, and then play three times really quickly.
I was excited to see when they would have it, because obviously Florida's having a good season as well. But I don't think that they're better than Toronto Maple Leafs right now.
March, though.
They have to wait
March
till
27th,
March.
And then they play three times in like a 3.5 week span.
March of 2022?
Yeah.
That's obscene. Okay, speaking of numbers, is that the one big number today? Because
that the schedule is terrible?
That the Leafs don't play their next real test until March, like basically when the season's over after the trade deadline?
That is not the one big number. I do have one for you. Yeah. Not that there's, you know, it's an 8-3 game. The data kind of goes out the window a little bit. I have two. The first one's not really a number. I thought Sheldon Keefe had a really good game taking McKinnon out of it, and I know he had a couple points. But McKinnon played almost all his minutes against the Leafs' top two lines. And I thought that that was a good way to, hey, you've been out a little bit and you being back in this game was a little, you know, it was questionable until the day prior. I liked the strategy of you're going to have to play the toughest minutes on the ice. Sheldon Keefe, though, was not terribly impressed with his team's 8-3 victory. And he said after the game, I don't leave the game feeling like we dominated at all.
Love it.
Well, Sheldon Keefe, let me tell you about score effects.
Yeah, get in there.
So the Leafs only, I mean, in terms of possession, he's right. The Leafs had less than a 50% share of shot attempts in that game. They did have 63% of the expected goals in that game. But when you score that much, of course the data is going to tilt. So the one big number today is there have been 29 times this year where a team scores 5 goals or more at 5-on-5 in a game. They're only at 52% shot attempts and 56% expected goals. It is not, when you dominate a team to that level at 5-on-5 in terms of scoring, you tend to let up. Those tend to be blowouts. So Sheldon Keefe, definitely data-wise, I agree, you didn't dominate. But I would suggest a good chunk of that is that you were pounding the doors in and scoring 7 even-strength goals. You know, give your guys a little pat on the back because it's probably their own fault that you guys didn't dominate.
I got to tell you already, I look forward to what the one big number is because you do a great job with it. And it's so far, your one big number is this streak of hitting things where I can't wait for the first time you do one big number and I go, come on. All right, wrap it up. You know, but every time, like that's a really good one. And I think with Keith, though, doing that, that this is pretty clear, that this is a guy who understands that no, Sheldon Keefe's not keeping his job if the Leafs rack up regular season wins and they go to the postseason, they lose in 6 games. Like that's, he's not going to go and be like, remember the Colorado game though?
We where played you guys, so well for 12 or 18 games.
JD said we're the best team and Blake was saying all the things about how we were one of only 29 teams to do 5-on-5. No, you're fired. You know, pack your bags. You're out of town. It's over. You're fired. This group needs to stay locked in, and it's an incredibly difficult ask for them to do it over 82. So I do think there's going to come a point in the season where we're going, what's wrong with the Leafs? Like, I just think that is going to happen. It happens with good teams. It's hockey.
Yeah. They got the Wild, the Jets, and the Blue Jackets up next. And those can be some annoying teams to play. Like, you
that's
know,
an annoying run.
Maybe there's something there, but
yeah, it's an interesting stretch where you've got that two set. You come home for a couple for all those games we're giving tickets away for. Stay tuned in later,
stay tuned
by the way.
For tickets.
And then you head out west for 4.
Yeah.
And you do have Edmonton and Calgary on the road. And that's, you know, those are tough road games.
Yeah.
Even if you're the better team. So there are challenges ahead for sure.
Yeah.
But short of them, hitting like a 2-5 skid, like how silly does that 2-4-1 start look now? Like, I know they're like, underlying that record were some troubling trends, but if they had a 2-4 stretch now, I don't think there'd be nearly as much concern, right?
I was going to say to you guys yesterday, I think I forgot to do this. I'm not sure. Again, I have morning brain all the time now. I was going to have this spinning or this spin of this is actually a good game for the Leafs to lose because it'll keep them focused. It'll keep the hype train off the rails. There'll be a spoke in the wheel of the hype bike.
The hype bike.
The hype bike. So I was ready. I was ready to spin this either way. I'm just saying. I had a spin for everybody to cool everybody down if they lost that game. I don't think a stretch of poor play is it's an 82 game season. It's going to happen.
How you build character.
They're going to have lulls. I just think that part of the building character has already happened with all these playoff losses, mm-hmm. and them staying locked in for this season and being that team for the most part. What I see is a group that I don't see where they start to fall apart during the regular season anyways. They're just built well. They're deep with their forward groups. Again, that's a night where every forward group is contributing.
Severn Nigrodzi.
I know, but
I wanted him to just bank one off his toe or something.
And I thought he kind of would. You know what's funny? They scored so many goals last night that I did the, like, who scored all the goals again? And I looked at the box score and thought, did Richie get one that I maybe missed?
It was like 14 different people with points.
Well, they scored all those goals at the end, and all of a sudden it was a flurry of goals. And I went, didn't Nick Richie is just waking
really
up?
They really wanted him to score.
Yeah. But the forward group is deep. The blue line looks great. And the goaltending is amazing. And again, to get back, I'm going to plug this Instagram video one more time. Go to my Instagram, watch the Jack Campbell story. But the reason I'm saying that is because with a really good team, Vic and I were doing this the other day. We were just like having a chat after the show. When you have a really good hockey team or a really good team in general, I used to say, what did people in Golden State talk about when they were ripping off 73 wins? And like, and they got Kevin Durant. Like, could you imagine us doing the show? We're in Golden State and we're like, and the Warriors.
They won again. They're amazing.
They've lost four times this year. Steph Curry is pretty good, right? What do you guys think? Steph Curry, is he the best shooter in NBA history?
Yeah, like imagine this Leafs team right now with how they're playing, and then last night they're like, oh, by the way, we're keeping MacKinnon too.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Yeah, MacKinnon has now decided that since he's lost to us, that we're keeping him.
But yeah, we're doing the Mega Man thing. Anyone we beat, we steal their best player.
But I think one of the things that ends up coming up, and this is crapping on my video, this is why, is that you end up doing the who's the underrated story? Who's the underrated story? Because every night someone's getting like some hype. And I really do believe that Jack story has been understated, and now we have Kiprios later today, and there's a little bit more of, oh, wow. Remember when old JD said we're taking for granted the idea that he's just going to sign up for that $4 million contract? Mm-hmm. Now there's a little bit of buzz, and we're going to talk to Kipper later, but I don't know if old Happy Jack is going to just stay Happy Jack in the negotiating room. He might want to get paid Jack. You know what makes, money can add to happiness. Maybe you can't buy it for him, but it can add to it. But
as Fabulous said, money can't buy happiness, but it's a damn good down payment.
Yeah. So Matthews has the hat trick, right? And the team plays well. And I thought it was actually kind of a good game for us to really look at it, though, and go, Tavares.
Tavares, yep. And he's been on a streak. It's been like a randomly quiet streak.
Uh-huh.
Like, he hasn't been getting a lot of conversation about it, but what, four consecutive multi-point games.
Yep.
Up to a point a game again on the year.
It's just like, the question basically is what I'm saying is like, who's actually the most underrated? Was it Jack Campbell? Or
then
is
you
it
can
now
throw
becoming
in Kerfoot
the captain?
Too. I think Kerfoot's had a really good.
But Kerfoot's not, I think Tavares is sixth in points.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say he's over
right?
Tavares
and
underrated.
Like, if
but
you took, if you
another
took,
thing.
Kerf or Tavares off the Kerfoot line. Mm. And I know they did that in the playoffs last year and Kerfoot played well, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think Kerfoot's having his start that he's having. I think he's a depth player doing not much. He deserves some credit. Mm-hmm. We've brought him up before in the show, but what I'm getting at here is, are we now building the case that Tavares has been the most underrated story of the season? A day after JD puts out a video that says
that's next week's
Jack
video.
Campbell
Stay tuned.
Is the most, yeah, exactly, underrated story of the season.
Just keep doing different ones, and eventually Ailish and I will share it, and then you'll know you found
the
one.
Thank you, finally. Just like it at least,
Got a
like
funny text from Chris from London. You guys beat a goalie that worked for Amazon this summer. Did this guy actually work for Amazon?
Here's the thing, though. Everybody works for Amazon. I listened to a podcast on them the other day. Their turnover rate is like 150% a year. That's like how much. And you go, how could it be possible? 150%. So they lay off so many people. They're like just turning people out.
Their goalie might have worked for Amazon.
That's what I'm saying. I think that maybe he did. Like, I think that we're all going to have a turn working for Amazon
in
at
the
some
widget
point
factory.
90% of homes. 90% going to order something over the holidays from Amazon.
Jamie from Peterborough. Hey, Sportsnet morning crew. Get Jack Campbell signed and sign now. We can't lose him. I am worried. Go Leafs, go.
We're not in charge of that.
Jamie, I feel you, buddy.
Do you guys have any thoughts on Tavares before we move on?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, first of all, yes, he's now up to tied for sixth in the league in scoring with 25 points in 23 games. And I think the thing that stands out to me about Tavares' hot streak in general, and this is more of a statement of the team, you look through, this is not something that I track from our show among the things that I do, but if you were to go back through our episodes or the Leaf season yourself, I think what you would see is there have been times and, you know, a week here or a three-game stretch there where, in addition to Campbell, Tavares, Nylander, Matthews, and Marner have all had a case of like, hey, this guy's their best player right now, or this guy's been the biggest piece of this three-game winning streak or this, you know, 3-1 week or whatever. And I think that's the idea, right? When you come in and you have four guys the caliber that the Leafs do, it's not that all four of them have to be awesome all the time. It's that between the four of them, you should have one, two, hopefully three clicking at any given time. And I think that the fact that there have been little chunks where all of them have a case as the team's best player speaks to, you know, just how well those four as a group are playing so far this year.
I think something we can start to introduce into today's discussion is he going to make the Olympic roster? And a month ago, not a chance. It was like, oh, sorry, it's going to be tough because you're a good leader and you have the experience, but you're not even close. Now, I don't see how they can't bring someone like that.
I don't know if he'll necessarily play, but I think he's on the roster, right? Like, I think it's going to be hard for him not to be among the forward groups or somebody that does get in at least a couple of games. So here's what I was thinking about Tavares as all those numbers that we've all referenced. And Blake, I really like that point. And sometimes it's funny because he's the older of the players. And so when you look at the contracts, quote unquote, as a problem, which they've often been looked at through the lens of these four guys at this much money, it's a problem. It's not a good thing. You need to find roster balance. With Marner, it's been, well, he doesn't score enough goals. Matthews has mostly stayed out of this, and Nylander has now dropped out of the conversation because he actually makes so much less than the other guys. So the Tavares criticism is always his age.
Yeah.
His age always comes into play, and people go, but what's it going to look like? So I think there are a lot of people out there, especially people that are worried about this team. They look at Tavares and they say, eventually he's going to regress. And so anytime he's not sixth in the league in scoring as he is right now, people start to wonder, has he slowed down? And I think that actually there's a message from last year and from this season, which is that sports are a sample size thing. And Tavares over his entire career has been a points getter. He has been a top two center on
good, top six center.
Well, I was going to say a top six forward, but he's clearly better than a top six forward. He's a top two center. He's a top line center.
Yep.
On most teams in the NHL. And we look at him and we say, oh, is he going to slow down? What happens when he slows down and you have 11 million? 2 years in a row, we've said, what's up with Tavares at the beginning of the year? Is Tavares old? Is he slowed down? Has he showed signs of regression? Is he still the same guy? Is Tavares still going to be there when you need him? He's done that. He keeps doing that. And in this sample size sport, until that guy puts up a more significant sample of lack of production, we really need to stop fretting and worrying about what John Tavares is going to look like, because right now, again, he is still going to be on the team that has the best forwards in the world, and that's Team Canada.
I actually wonder, and we kind of skipped over this, but he left the season on a very scary, devastating injury, and we were really excited to see him back in the lineup this year, but there's lingering effects, even in your confidence, in your recovery, to just get out there and go full throttle. I know that he's cleared to play at the beginning of the season and he gets in there, but it looks like now he's finally getting back into his own, and it doesn't take, you know, one game to get over that type of injury. Like, you know, even me coming back from surgery, it took me half a season to kind of feel like I was back in my groove. Like, you confidence wise, everything, like you don't just flip a switch and now that I'm cleared from a scary injury, I'm ready to rumble. So I think even now, what's it been like two months of playing, it looks like he's finally got that confidence, that edge back.
So JD, you mentioned sample size, and yes, Ailish, I mean, I can't speak to having an injury that serious and as a player. But I think there's a real element of that. And we've seen it with the Raptor side, and that's not nearly as scary an injury. That's just a comfort level injury.
I stubbed my toe off my really heavy coffee table last week.
Oh, yeah, you thought you broke your toe.
And it was in the middle of the night, and I still like haven't walked around my coffee table the same way at night.
No, you're, so you're totally lacking confidence. You're looking over your shoulder as you leave the room.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So in terms of your point of sample size, JD, and I know the Tavares conversation has gone up and down. This is his fourth season in Toronto, and a couple of those are partials because of the pandemic and everything. Mm-hmm. 223 points in 224 games as a Maple Leaf.
Is that good?
It's right there at a point a game. You want to, you know what else is right there at a point a game? Again, you tie up this much salary cap in your top four guys. You say, what's the bar? Where do you need to be?
There.
Those guys have 91 points combined in 92 games combined. That's a point per game foursome. That's not 1 point per game guy. That's 4 points per game guys. It's clicking.
That's you've done, you know, you're kind of being pretty sneaky with one big number today.
This
I got to tell
multiple
you,
big
you're
kind
of being a little sneaky about it.
I don't think points count as the big number.
No, actually, well, that sure sounds like a big number. By the way, we got, let's take a break, but I'd like to co-opt one big number for 1 second.
Yeah, go ahead.
One big number, Ailish Forfar.
Oh, yeah.
Getting rich.
I was getting rich last night.
Yeah, you were getting rich last night. Bing bong. Somebody was like lighting up the text, like the text group with wins, 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 wins. And it was someone who gave you those wins on the show yesterday. And that is you.
Yeah. I had a feeling. You never bet against former Leafs when they come back in the Scotiabank Arena. Kadri was at the Raptors game the night before. He's feeling the vibes. He does a big interview with Christine Simpson. He's talking about his time in Toronto. I just felt it. So I bet plus 2,000 that he would get two or more goals. And it was tight. Like, I was nervous because that first goal, I don't even know, it deflected off 15 people's sticks. And then they didn't really credit him. And then they sneakily changed it on, like, NHL.com. And I was like, okay. Okay, and then he scores at the very end of the game with, like, what, 3 minutes left?
Yeah.
And I was bing bong! I was thinking about cashing out because I'm like, oh, it's, but they weren't even giving me good cash out odds. Anyway, I bet $10.
What did they offer you on the $10 bet for a cash out?
$13.
Oh, thank God you didn't cash
out. I'm not, like, I'm like, if I'm going to win this, I'm going to win this. So I bet $10. I won $210. Yep. The rent is paid. Yum, yum, yum. We love money. Now I'm just going to spend it all on continued Black Friday, Giving Monday or Giving Tuesday, Cyber Tuesday, whatever deals.
Yeah. So this is a tease for later because we like to talk about our bets and the way that we're going to set things up at 8:30. Mm-hmm. I have another gambling rule off of what you just had that I'm going to give out at 8:30 off of the big Ailish win. Old Bing Bong out here just nailing bets. Hey, you were on fire yesterday. You just had it. You just were in the groove.
I was feeling good.
Yeah. You have like a long nap?
I had a long nap, had a good workout. I made a slow cooker dinner where it's just like, you know, you feel like you got your stuff together when you're slow cooking food, you're working out, you clean your whole apartment. I'm like, just the vibes were good. I felt good about last night.
That's the most underrated part about cooking when you live alone. And like, you know, because if you live in a couple, it's a... You're like, we have to do this. This is just a part of what we do, right? Mm-hmm. You have a family. I don't know what that's like, but you guys are having dinner every night. It's just a part of the routine. When you live alone, you can justify eating out a lot.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, just sushi platter.
But when you make food and you do that, especially when you don't just make like a sandwich, you actually like hit up the slow cooker. Do things that way. The feeling that you get when you're done of, wow, what a...
You're like, I'm a hero.
What a person I am. Feeding myself and not just in of the app. What a contributor to society I could be.
Pay my rent. I'll check my bills.
Yeah, that's it.
You know?
Yeah, you just
maybe I'll invest.
Go through the mail. Check the stocks. You know, eat your out of your slow cooker. I love it.
Hey, Ailish, I like that you went right to invest. Yesterday it was I got a bet to pay my rent, and now it's like I'm investing.
Betting is investing.
Yeah.
So find me who you invested with yesterday that gave you that kind of returns.
Yeah.
All right.
True.
Cool bet. Chris didn't like my screenshot though because it wasn't a cool bet.
Oh well. Yeah. You know what?
Cool bet, Chris. Get me the sponsorship, buddy.
Yeah. You know how to solve that, cool bet.
That's
Chris.
Right. You got JD here with
money.
Cool bet.
That's right.
Cool bet masks. Cool bet sponsorship hours. I'm a free agent. Cool bet, Chris.
Yeah, that's right. So.
Well, I'm glad Ailish is finally asking for this stuff instead of just giving it away. Yeah.
Chip brand that I love.
Let's take a break. Leafs are so hot. Keep texting in. We're going to do tons of Leafs today. Again, I want the question just to simply be, did last night change something in you? Are you feeling it? If you are feeling it, why? If you're not, why not? Is there something about this team that you find particularly interesting? Text it in. 590-590. You can hit us up always on Twitter or on Instagram. JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar. We're going to take a break. We're going to see what's on the A-list today.
Just my bets.
I was going to say, like, did I step on the A-list?
I win once. Like, one time I hit big, and yeah. It's just like, ooh, no, I'm the best bettor in the world.
No, but this is what I love about your gambling, is that you go big.
Yeah.
Here, I'm always like
a six-game parlay.
Yeah, I'm over here looking for, like, 5% edge.
Right.
That's boring.
And rubbing my hands together when it happens.
And A-list did the, hey, the Leafs, former Leafs always score on the Leafs. Here's this. Plus 10,000, bing bong.
2,000.
Plus 2,000, bing bong. Hey, plus 1,000, double it, bing bong. Let's take a break.
Well, speaking of bing bong,
okay.
Stay tuned because bing bong makes a massive appearance in the A-list.
Oh.
And that's next. Sportsnet.
590
the 590
fan.
The fan. I got nervous. We'll see you after the break. Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show. The vibes are good. Oh, it's Baby Friday. That's why.
Yeah.
This week has been so weird. I keep forgetting what day it is. Like yesterday, it must be Tuesday.
Yeah.
Thursday.
This is a very wrestling brain thing, but I had a much better handle on what day of the week it was when the Raptors or Leafs didn't play every Wednesday.
Mm. Yeah.
Or both, because Wednesday's the wrestling night for me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Monday and Friday as well, because we have Raw and SmackDown on Sportsnet here in Canada, as discussed with the champ, Big E, yesterday.
Mm, yeah. Listen to the podcast if you missed that.
Yeah, that was fun. But yes, that's weirdly because like the Raptors and Leafs schedule could be whatever. They play whenever. And the Blue Jays play every day when they're on. So it's like, well, I got the wrestling day one day of the week and then football on Sunday. And those are my tethers. And then any other day is just in between those two blocks.
I just know that my level of comfort for having a little bit of wine or some beers, which, you know, like tonight, Raptors Bucks blowout.
I'm going to that game.
Are you really?
Yeah. We talked about this.
Oh, right. Yeah. Not courtside.
Not courtside.
But yeah.
Next time.
But this is one where, you know, might just like level of, can I have a drink tonight? Comfort. It goes through the roof when we're later in the week. That's how he feels.
No, I had a couple of drinks last night. Maybe that's why my betting and my tweets were on fire.
Yeah, same.
I had exactly two beers.
A little bit of white wine.
And I had some of those chips.
What chips?
The ketchup ones. Because I still have those bags kicking around. I can't get rid of them. So I'm like, I guess I'll just eat them.
I asked you for my own bag and you were like, no, you can't.
Okay.
No, it's too late for that now. Okay.
Sorry, this reminds me. I know we got to get to the A-list. But,
yeah.
Denise from Drumbo.
Denise from Drumbo. She's always allowed to come in.
Sent in... Were you going to jump in with something?
I ate that Take 5 bar last night. Oh. It just reminded me because you said Denise from Drumbo commissioned someone to buy a bunch of Take 5 bars.
She got them over the board. Yes. She smuggled them.
I think that Denise should profit and sell them.
Really?
I think our
you
whole
like
team,
them that much?
No, I'm saying I think our whole team kind of had the same take.
Yeah, they were.
Which is that it's just okay.
Ross responded to my tweet and I didn't respond back because I'm like, I don't want to be mean, but I'll tell him on air on Monday.
We'll be mean to him, to his face.
Yeah, on
that's
Monday.
The way to be mean to somebody.
I'm
going to
say, Ross, they weren't that great. Sorry, yeah. You wasted your money.
So what's Denise up to these days?
She sent in a picture of Crunchips.
What?
Lorenz brand Crunchips.
Let me see.
They're paprika flavor.
No, Denise.
And she wanted me to pass them along to you guys. Again, JD, we're going to lick our finger and put one in the column of you don't trust a healthy person on snacks.
I'm just saying,
anything
Denise.
Called Crunchips?
Crunches?
They're apparently...
Yes.
They're apparently
Denise from
German.
Jumbo. Yeah. Tell me about Crunches. How I'm doing them. Properly or improperly? Yeah. Got it. Check. Crunch chips? No. Stay out of this. Stay out of our food, Denise from Jumbo. All right, we're not going to eat healthy
unless I want like protein balls.
Yeah, exactly. Then we'll come to you. We want to know how to make a Cobb salad properly. Okay,
you guys have turned on my mom.
No, never.
Oh no, listen.
It's time for the A-list.
Now it's time for
let us A
the A-list.
A.
All right. Guys, I was so excited to bring this one on today. I actually got tagged in this multiple times. That's when you know the brand is strong. Strangers tagging you in stuff to say, hey, put this on the A-list. Did you see this? A-list, help. Respond to my DMs. Please. Am I being creepy? I need you to look at this.
Simps?
Simps, but you know what? It was worth it last night.
Oh, you acknowledged the simps
I did
yesterday?
Because they rallied around my Bing Bong obsession.
Yeah.
So, there's an election happening for the mayor of New York City, which obviously is something we care about greatly up
deeply,
here.
Deeply, yeah.
Deeply.
Oh, God, who will it be?
I wonder. So,
feels like New York's whole thing with mayors is like
the next one. The same people?
Well, they're like, the next one will be worse. It's like, you thought this mayor was bad. Wait till you see this mayor. We got like, we're gonna show you greatest city in the world. Not great as the mayors, anyways.
So, individuals wrote in on the write-in ballot to name the next mayor of New York. They wrote in Bing Bong.
Bing Bong!
Multiple people actually wanted to elect Bing Bong as the new mayor of New York City. And I love it. Yeah. I love it so much. That is incredible. That's when your society is just taking a step in the right direction.
I got to say, like, that's a tough one, though, for the crowd of people died for your right to vote. And then someone wrote Bing Bong. And that's where you don't. That's a tough. Don't anybody show that to the vets, okay? Like, that's one where we do it on the show, but nobody share that to anybody of consequence.
Oh, so good.
Right? Bing Bong.
Bing Bong.
I gotta tell you though,
Bing Bong
over Cuomo any day. So
yeah, I mean, Eric Adams is he won. He's the mayor elect. But
congrats,
Eric Adams. That's no fun.
He takes office January 1st. He's gotta drop a Bing Bong.
Oh, if he doesn't, he's the biggest idiot who ever lived.
Yeah,
honestly,
that's
an
easy.
You gotta lean into it.
Yeah, that's the old Mick Foley right here in Toronto, Ontario, with the thumbs up, and you get the big pop.
That's really good.
He's got to do. He's got to do the Bing Bong.
I'll say this: the Bing Bong run is incredible. I really thought it had reached a saturation point. It's something everybody
it's
does.
Getting
now.
Stronger.
Yeah, it really does.
So
it's
I don't know
call.
If you guys are TikTok people.
We're not.
So there is actually like a viral thing with the Bing Bong video. So, you know, it's like, I don't want to do the impression.
Yeah, I was just going to say, are you about to do a visual thing?
I'm not going
to
do the impression.
You're
gonna
be like, and then another guy goes Bing, and then he's got like a thing. And then.
But there is definitely, Bing Bong has taken over TikTok, and that is, you know, that's how anything spreads nowadays, was if it gets viral on TikTok. So I'll send you an example later today in the group chat, and you'll think it's funny. But it's I don't think it's ever going to die out.
That guy should get money. I hope.
Seriously,
I
he's
hope
created
he gets money.
A phenomenon.
Something just because obviously the place that created that Sidewalk Talk New York or Side Talk, I can't remember if it's Sidewalk Talk or Side Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they've probably sold 1 billion Bing Bong shirts. I've seen other places sell Bing Bong shirts. Somebody get that guy a little residual from the Bing Bong shirts.
I wonder how many people are going to get Bing Bong tattoos.
Bing Bong.
Bing Bong.
Okay, we did it.
Right,
now, you know what? We might be ruining it.
Here's the thing. Put Bonnie Crombie on notice, mayor of Mississauga, the next election.
Mm.
Things keep going this way for 905. You get a Bing Bong on that
ballot,
too.
Oh, yeah, baby. I'll do it. All right. Yeah. So the next on the A-list, you can't top that, but this is pretty funky. So 2024 Summer Olympics are in Paris. And French officials are testing electric flying taxis.
No.
Would you do that?
No chance. We're not there yet. We're not there yet where I'm getting in.
In 2024, you don't think?
Nah. I mean, maybe. I who knows? Who knows? But today, they go, hey, JD, we're workshopping the electric flying. And nah.
They're really creepy looking, to be honest. It's something from, it looks like a giant.
Yeah.
Dragonfly.
Yeah, you know what I'm getting into? I'll get into a flying taxi, but it will use gas and it will be called a helicopter. I will get in. The Firefly thing that you're describing, pass.
That's an electrically powered volocopter drone taxi.
All that sounds bad. All that sounds like the Hindenburg to me. No, thank you.
I'm just picturing the kid in the Star Wars. Mm-hmm. This is pod racing.
Yeah.
And it's and then it crashes.
I never saw Star Wars.
All I'll say is once a couple of people do it, I still won't do it. I need a year. I need a year before I step into that sucker.
I need more money, probably. What? Oh, I imagine that's an expensive thing.
Yeah, actually, it didn't mention the price.
At first.
Obviously. But it's supposed to transport passengers between the airport and all the central areas and the suburbs and to and from all the Olympic Village areas.
Why don't you just improve your public transit infrastructure?
That's a lot to ask for. But if you had voted for Bing Bong, he might be able to do that.
Yeah, Bing Bong would have taken care of it. What's next?
What's next is Steph Curry signed up UConn star Azzie Fudd. Am I saying that right, Blake?
I don't know.
A UConn star freshman into a unique brand deal, which is one of the first times that a NBA player has partnered with a women's college basketball player. For a athlete-run organization. So it's just like a really cool way that Steph Curry is leaning into this NCAA, allowed to have their players profit off of their likeness. So it's a good sign that someone like Steph Curry is going to help women's sports be at the top level. And obviously he gets a lot of eyes. He has a lot of money. He has a lot of outreach. And to do that with a freshman at UConn, to have her part of his business, I thought was very cool.
I knew it was women's basketball just because you said star at UConn, and
they don't have much else.
Well, no, men's basketball used to be their thing, and maybe their team is halfway decent now, but nah, it's been a while. It's been a while since the men's team was good. The women's team is an institution.
Mm-hmm.
They're the most dominant program in all of sports, I would say, other than like Carlton Ravens men's basketball, and then UConn women's basketball. Those are the two. And Alabama football, not even that. Alabama football, not even there.
No.
It's those two. It's those two programs. So, Steph Curry is associating himself to that brand.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good for everyone, like everyone involved. That's actually a good thing for Steph Curry, too. That's the one thing that should be acknowledged in these things.
Right.
Is like, hey, this isn't charitable work that these guys are doing.
Exactly. No, and the cool thing I thought about this, it's not just like a sponsorship deal. Mm-hmm. He is helping her develop her own brand. And so that is something obviously he's profited on huge in his life. He's got his own Steph Curry brand. But a lot of these up-and-coming NCAA athletes who are young and especially female aren't going to know how to develop a brand, how to profit off of their brand. Like, we've never been taught that. So for him to give her guidance and how to actually create a future for herself, I think is the best part about it. And it's not just like, hey, you're a part of Steph Curry 30. It's, I'm going to also give you advice and help you develop your own brand so you're not associated with me, which is kind of like how many other places do that. It's like, okay, you want to be a hockey player. Well, let's make it a women's NHL, but it's always associated with the NHL. So I think that he's going to give her and hopefully future athletes an idea and some assistance to have their own brand.
Is there anything more cringeworthy than when someone in earnest says that's not my brand or talks about their brand?
No.
Yeah. Right?
It's the worst.
It's really bad. It's so bad. When you say that's their brand, that's this brand. Okay, sure. It always sounds a little bit too buzzwordy to me. I go, okay, yeah, we got to figure out some synonym here that we can use that isn't brand. But when someone else says it, that's not my brand, or that's more leaning into my brand. That's an immediate checkout moment. Oof, it's so bad. It's so bad. So yeah, if you're out there, don't say that. Don't say that to me anyways.
One quick last one before we go. So Forbes put out their 30 under 30. Which
did you make it?
No, you know, I was on the cusp. I was 31. Not age-wise.
Oh, you were number 31.
But I was number 31.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm not 31.
Yeah.
You guys are closer to 31 than I am. No, maybe I'm closer.
No, not true.
But a lot of star-studded people, including Kendall Coyne Schofield, who is a women's hockey legend already at 29, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
So it's a Forbes sports list?
So they have different categories now. They have sports, they have media, they have...
So this was a separate 30 under 30
for
sports
people.
Yeah, so
this
people.
Is... Yeah, sorry. There's, I was going to say, there's like, multiple ones there's, now.
There's some dudes in Silicon Valley yeah, right now like, who are what? Like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, sorry. What does Kendall Coyne make compared to me?
300
yeah.
million? That's
wow.
Cute.
Yeah. No, Vlad so hasn't even signed his contract yet.
Yeah,
that's
they've
sick,
changed
bro.
It up to have different categories, which I think is cool because... It's a lot of people, obviously, to try to put in there, and they're usually just like financial people, et cetera. So now there are different, there's like a science category, a social media category, which I'm sure people will love.
Who's number one in sports? You just have the two people in front of you.
Well, I just have the two people, but I can get back.
Yeah, okay. I want to know. Now I'm kind of curious about the list. Lists are so funny, is they're so basic and so easy, mm-hmm. and our brains are just like, I want to see it.
it was,
who cares?
Devin Booker.
What?
Devin Booker was like the featured person on the page. Yep.
All right. Well, now I don't care about this list anymore. I'm
well,
sorry.
It's not
Devin
actually
Booker's number
it's
one?
Not actually ranked. It's like just they just throw all their photos in there. So I don't really know if there's an order or it's like here's the 30 under 30. I don't think they rank it like you're the number one and you're number two. It's like here's 30 people.
Here's 30 young, rich, successful athletes. Let's celebrate them more. That's what this show is doing as well when we talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Next. On the Fan Morning Show, Blake Murphy, JD Bungus, Ailish Forfar, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.